Hey, you know, I'm a chef, my name is Ruben Akachi, I'm heading of the Central Executive Council.
Good morning, Chair and honourable members, my name is Fred Thompson, I'm leader of managing the Western Political Department, thank you.
Good morning, honourable Chair and members, I'm Lama Swaz Mahamani from the Professional Services Forum.
Good morning, honourable Chair and members, I am Debo Kokiri, the new regional manager of the Central.
And thank you once again, I'm going to apologize for the Director General, after to extend every day. Yes, the Chair, today we are going to present on the resuscitation of workshop. We've had the comments of the members, the Chairperson and the Honourable Sultan, who would like to present actually on our environment policy. Fortunately, we've just had the Minister to sign off the property empowerment policy, and I'm sure the members will be invited very soon to the launch of that property empowerment policy. There's been canvas throughout the industry, and I'm sure the members will be very happy to hear about it. We've got some empowerment programs on construction as well, but as we said today, you don't have time, as you, the Chairperson has presented, will present the resuscitation of workshops. This is the program that we've given the background on the presentation. We'll not give that background when we do the presentation. Mr. Mdaran is going to do the presentation, won't go into detail in terms of background, but in the presentation, the honorable members can read at their time. We'll just present our plan when we have what is the purpose of the resuscitation of workshop. So I'll give over to Mr. Mdaran.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the introduction. And I will try to be taking the cue from the Chairperson today as quickly as possible and understand that the members might have had an opportunity to look at the presentation. Basically, I would like to jump straight to slide number 7 so that we can start and deliver the thing. The report for two regional managers. In terms of the history, which the Chairperson said must not talk to. But we started to look at the two regions to become our pilots so that we can actually look at this method going forward like it was before. But just to give a little bit of the status on slide number 7, saying that a survey was conducted to examine the status of the workshops in all regional offices of the department. And we said for the number of workshops and the physical readiness of all those workshops to respond to the issues that are actually affecting us as a department in dealing with our current requirements. In slide 8, basically we just gave the members the number of workshops in terms of the countrywide spread, indicating basically how each region is actually structured in respect of workshops, and we also indicate whether effective or not. But maybe the focus for our area will be to be in Cape Town and also Pretoria as we move forward. Just on that line, we're just actually highlighting previously what I was just trying to say that with the workshops of public work and the total size of the the workshop per region. From a total of 11 regions, 4 regions have no workshops: Umtata, that is Transkei, and Mangatwa and Nelspruit. With the exception of one workshop in Cape Town, all workshops are attached to the military bases for the National Defence Force. It is also important to note that all of these workshops are operating at full capacity, as workshops neglected in the department. And the trades that are actually generally covered in these workshops that we have will be electrical work, mechanical work, carpentry, and plumbing and water services, because we also own quite a number of water treatment plants and waste water treatment plants. also, the big one, which I believe is very important, in the past we've lost a lot of capacity to ask contractors too much of what we are having to external contractors. That's also responding to the need for developing small enterprises. If you go to page 10, slide 10, then it gives you basically even the capacity that you have available. You can tell from the spreadsheet or the table that if you look at the type of properties or the number of properties you are having, if you say that the human resource capacity you have to deal with the complex infrastructure we have of properties across departments, it tells you that we have no capacity at all in respect of technical support that is required. And then if you go to the next slide, basically here we are indicating to the honorable members the properties that we are dealing with in respect of all the regions, and also indicating the breakdowns that we are having on average per year. Just as an example, for Cape Town, you can see that we've got about 18,000 properties, where in 29,928 breakdowns are reported per year. And also, just to give an average per day, it's about 113 per day that the workshop of Cape Town has got to respond on different reports that get reported to the system. And just on the next slide, we actually are indicating the work that is done as per the what I've explained. So basically, in terms of the work that I've indicated in the previous slide, it must be noted that the data does exclude the 100,000 and below of the work that is devolved to clients. I think the members will remember that part of our application of the strategy is to ensure that some of the work that is more in nature below a particular threshold, in the past about 6,000, we've since revised it to 100,000, that is actually dealt with by the science department. So what we've given you in the previous slide was to deal with issues which are below or work that is below 100,000. So it's above 100,000, and the one that is below is not included in this element. I've already explained slide 13 when you talk about the class of work. I think this comes to slide 14, just for the benefit of the members, just to explain on the general framework, the way we explain the class of work. It covers the occupants, masonry, which is brick, block and stone, walls, and concrete walls. On civil rights, we cover quite a number of water treatment facilities, sewage works, and also roads and harbors and pipelines. In respect of electrical works within the building environment, we cover the electrical installations on the building, the installations, verifications, and certifications of electrical installations. And under infrastructure, that is covering your streetlights, substations, protection systems, and distribution equipment and wiring. And on the mechanical side, we cover a new HVAC system, which is the air conditioning, the boiler installation, steam distribution, kitchen equipment, refrigeration, cold room, and the dust and so that in respect of those areas. And then also within those class of work, so just indicating to the members on the next slide, and the number of skills that are required in respect of what is actually should be done. Within general building, there is a requirement for bricklayers, your carpenters, your painters, your plumbers and tiles, for civils, your boilermakers, and the plastic artisans, and also wastewater technicians. And then also on the electrical side, mainly your electricians, and then on the mechanical would be your technicians, and also your tenants, fitters and tenants. Now, in respect of the functional requirements, we were saying that on slide 16, for the workshops to operate optimally or effectively, a number of things need to be in place. This will include amounts of the vehicles which are actually used for by artisans to respond to calls from point A to B, and then also the equipment that is required in machinery for extended day work. They will need, for instance, compressors to drive certain tools for the purpose of doing the work. And also other tools will include quite a number of different tools, different trades. And then also the workshop itself, where all the artisans are working from, and also the fuel, the processing flooring. Those are actually the requirements that we might be needing as we look at operationalizing the workshop. website gives you a rundown in respect of the estimated requirements as a basis to start off towards a particular positive direction. And then also on the next slide we talk about the material management. I think I just want to highlight something on this slide 18. For the members as well, just to highlight the issue of material management is one area that is a problem. In most cases, you find that whenever work has got to be done, it is either by our existing contractors, our existing workshops, the issue of material always comes to be an issue that we need to deal with. For instance, if we stop buying material in our workshop, there's an issue of theft, where the accountability is not necessarily always up to scratch. So basically, one of the departments is going to be looking into doing in specific materials which are of high value. We'll be looking at getting these materials through our suppliers on term contracts so that it's easy for them, for instance, if the artisan knows that it's going to fix, for instance, a pipeline or a particular thing in time, then we will actually have to plan to go via our suppliers of materials from their shop so that we don't have money to spend on shipping materials and also safety. So that always we're going to take as we need from their side. And also stockpiling. Stockpiling, we're talking about very small materials, like for instance the washer, those things we find somebody every day, keep on running and taking those. But for the very high value materials, we believe it has been a very difficult for department to keep a proper those controls in respect of that. And then the next slide. As I said, we've got the two regional managers for both Cape Town and Pretoria. And I want to indicate that they've been working very hard to look into this plan. Other regions are saying that they will follow in a prioritized manner so that we don't actually go and spend too much money when we're not seeing where our major issues are. Just to indicate particularly for the members why Pretoria and Cape Town, I think I might have missed that. These are our biggest regions. These are our regions where we have a lot of expenditure in respect of day-to-day maintenance, which is going astronomically at high values that are not affordable by the department. And so we actually targeted them so that we are able to then reverse or try to neutralize the current environment. The department puts out the Artisan Development Program, needs to meet the demand and construction industry at large. We have achieved at least over a period of 3 years to 110 newly qualified artisans. And I think I want to confirm that the minister did recognize these artisans in a session held in January this year, where all these artisans, both male and female, we had about 71%, which was representing women, and then 75 women. So basically, these were all young people that we just recruited. You can actually see in terms of the scale of the different disciplines, where there's more electricians, the carpenters, and then other areas we've got very less, like your air conditioning and refrigeration. But I just want to confirm that as we move, we'll be improving. Now, in terms of the plan, in the new financial year, in the first quarter, citing also what the chairperson has said, that there could be a way that we should be approaching this thing differently. We are saying that the department, there's about 40 artisan training that will be qualifying in terms of them passing the trade test in respect of different trades in the new financial year. And then also, as part of our understanding that development does not go where you just bring a person who's just qualified into the game, you also have to have people that are going to assist them to be better artisans, thereby calling the retired professionals and also young unemployed artisans as part of the recruitment drive. This really helps a lot in making sure that the type of the quality of artisans that are being on board are of high quality. The approach also is linked to an open market recruitment where the department just did advertisement of newspapers. And then people respond and then we follow up in terms of upgrading those people. And then the issue of upscaling, there's also a realization, while I did say initially that there's been exodus of a number of qualified artisans, we do a panel and a paper. So for us to get these people through the process, they go through the RPL way, we'll train them, and then for instance, instead of doing a 3-phase process for them training, they'll actually go through phase 3, and then they get tech prep, and then they pass, because in general they know how the game is actually done or how to write it down. So we do that in cooperation with many other sectors that we have, Department of Labor and Department of Higher Education, Water and Sanitation. The department, through our EPWC program, we implement a number of job creation and skills programs. One of these programs is the National Youth Service program, which introduces unemployed young people in the work, world of work. Our approach is in the recruitment drive to look at attracting mainly the youth people and also the females as well, so that there is no dominance of males in this particular area. The other area that I want to emphasize is that we also want to implement the recently developed FM business process to the point of treating workshops as a template. What currently is happening here in Namibia is that when there is a fault, say in correctional services for instance, the call is not to what I would call the central call center in Pretoria, to which the call center then is dispatched to respective workshops where you have work managers allocating work to contractors. So ours is to say that in respect of how this whole arrangement would have been, is that the workshop should be the central area which should say we cannot handle this work, hence we can actually outsource it. That particular way actually helps us as well to also determine the extent to which what needs to be done, because in general what happens is that we call a contractor, they respond, and only after giving us an invoice we know what actually the work was all about. So that also gives us a very big difficulty in terms of even estimating what the work or the cost would be. So we're just wanting to ensure that there's a stability to time that we're going to try to forge that particular element where the workshops become, if you like, the center of dealing with the fault as they come up front before it is special contractors, because by their nature contractors, while they are expensive, also believe that they still need to mature to become great contractors by doing the proper pricing model in respect of charging government in respect of the work that they are actually given. And then in conclusion, we just conclude by saying that the Minister of Public Works has pronounced the recitation of workshops as a flagship program, and therefore the department will continue to embark on putting measures to including freedom of style workshop position. The delay in the implementation of this initiative has been due to the financial constraint. I just want to confirm that with the ones that the minister has confirmed or recognized in January, the plan for us, especially within facilities, because we're responsible for maintenance, will be ensuring that those people are absorbed in the current vacant position, so that at least we can start the process. But we're going to be prioritizing the Pretoria region and the Western Cape and other regions which are actually affected at this point in time. Thank you, Chairperson. That will be the end.
Anyone wants to add? For you tonight. Don't worry about fighting. You can add if you want to add.
Okay.
Honorable members, that is the presentation. As I've said, that we will have to engage with the Chairperson of the committee and the boss lady there, next to me on my left. Reprioritize a program to possibly call them back in about, 3 months or 4 months? That would be a good time. 3 months, because then you will know, because I think your last point will also be supported by the social affairs. So, so there will be money be made available in terms of if you want to stick people. members. But I'm going to hand over to you. I'm going for Tali, I'm going for Adams, I'm going for Victor, I'm for Ivo, I'm going for Maciera, and I'm going for Teresa and Amigo. In that order. Let me check. This is a very, very welcome program, I must say, check. And I may not have had this from yourselves, but for me, Che, it looks like an appropriate response to the Auditor General's filler remark to the effect that the department does not appear to be having even a basic program for maintaining its properties. And it's not branded as such, but it looks like it is. And that's why I'm more than happy that we've got this kind of program. And we're happy that the ministry found it wise to respond so quickly to the Auditor General concerning the remark. Charter. You know, there's this notion that homeless were not taken care of by the then Department of Under Administration and Development. That was the term used in Pretoria for the department that had to take care of homeless. And what you have presented to us here this morning confirms this often denied statement that even the ANC government has not taken any significant steps to improve the lot of the people in homeless, using the charter as an example. Charter services there, so many other small districts. So if you've got a service center there, little towns like Kumbu, Nkanduli, Maleni, Novo, Kuduwa, and so on. These are all towns within the radius of under 100 kilometers who have benefited. But since 1994, Public Works has not found it convenient or urgent to have a service station there. And I promise you there was one in Norwood. I know because I used to work for the Transvaal government. It was just allowed, you know, to die, etc. I know people who used to work in that workshop in Norwood. There's a little charter on the right hand side, there's a little charter for them. Quite a big building, I know, because I was there for 10 years working for government. So that's why I say this report is most welcome, and I'm happy to see one of the slides that from Charter and Yemen are the cities that are going to be prioritized, and I hope you stick with that. And when you say prioritized, your early ministry is coming for early, in the early stages of this coming for the year. Now, this is just a remark to stress the point that we really are looking forward to you taking those early steps. My next point is based on slide 16. I see the various categories of people that will be needed, but there's one I do not see there, and that is the safety officers doing this kind of work, other than work, if I can just use that generic term, from building to engineering and so on. Those people handle dangerous tools. They climb heights. And what you often find, particularly with the private sector, is that they do not have appropriate scaffolding. But they will instruct their employees to climb a building without providing them with appropriate scaffolding. First aid kits, you will not find them. Now, it's not the job of the bricklayer to see if there is a first aid kit. But when he's hit by a brick on the head, that's when he will ask the question, where is the first aid? And quite often, the main contractor is not on site. Because maybe it's got two or three projects that is running. Even if it's internal job, the foreman may not necessarily be there all the time. And you may not find anyone with a vehicle to make sure that the injured employee of the department is taken care of appropriately. And some areas, healthcare facilities are not in abundance. There are snarls with traffic on top of that. Even if the hospital is on the other end of bed or top. And a person could very well die just from the profuse building. And yet, if there were safety officers, they would have made sure that even before that 50,000 rand or 150,000 rand work is going to be started, everything is in place. So I want you to please add to that as a critical component of the staffing that you must have safety officers on board. Otherwise, your team is not complete. They're exposing people if you don't have safety officers. You presented to us some time last year, told you the department may not have been this unit that trained at the family. And we understood your parameters in terms of jobs that are worth so much, you know, should be done by the user departments. Suppose this 100,000 rand story comes in there. It's still your property. Do you have a program of checking on a regular basis if the departments are doing what is necessary? In other words, do departments have the budget? Do they set aside the budget? But I know I raised this question in 2016. I haven't had any specific response. Ask you if you do you check if the departments have got the appropriate budget for maintaining the buildings. You know, it's still your building, so when they deteriorate, we ask you about that. Now, if we haven't got that program, included as part of the program, to say, on a regular basis, at budget time, we must talk to all departments and make sure that they've got this engine, you know, for the maintenance. Ask them if they don't, or you can put it as a condition that they must have a budget for maintenance, you know. It will depend on the sizes of the buildings that they occupy. Now, the next question, Chair, is about the retired professionals. Where experience and not much more than that is required, I'm on slide 20. My issue is with the retired professionals. Here you could be talking about someone who is 80, could be talking about someone who is 67, is retired. Now, you have got a huge number of unemployed youth in the country. Why do you resort to retired professionals? I've already indicated to you that I would expect you to go for retired professionals when you're looking for one thing only, because that's all they've got, is experience. Everything else, you're supposed to make sure that the curriculum in the TVET College covers everything that these assistants are supposed to know. And you place them as part of the training to make sure that when they come out of college, they know exactly what to do. Why are you looking for a job? Those people are living off their pension. They've got kids here who don't end anything. So you need to justify to us why you need to help those people. Last year, slide 21. I would like to propose formally. I didn't quite hear you, so if I sound like I'm coming into something that you've already mentioned, please excuse to me, I'm not, over, so to speak. Can we be assured that we'll get quarterly updates on this program? And the reason I'm saying that is even reinforced by the concluding remark to the fact that the minister has had this as a flagship program. And naturally, as we've been doing with the EPWP, would like to get an update. That's my contribution, Chair. And once more, thanks for the opportunity, Chair.
My first question, I start at the back. Then your contribution must explain to me. When you say it's a flagship program, I understand that this is a priority. As you say, you have financial constraints. Did you budget and did you plan to do this in the new financial year? And then, the filling of critical workshop positions. How much? Which positions? And all of these workshops, do they cater for people with disabilities? If not, why not? Which workshops do you plan to cater for people with disabilities? And Jefferson, I'm a little disappointed in the presentation. If I can sit in Africa, I can then look up for water and give you more. Did you? Up for water. I'd like to know what I mean by on-site aid. They say there the number of workshops, and one could question why six is at six in Newton then? What do they mean attached to defense? Who pays, who is responsible for the budget of that project? And why is it attached to defense? Then, Jefferson, I'd like to know why, in the first place, and this reason, there are no workshops in the regions like Mutata, Mbatu, Nelson. I won't include Jennifer because there are a lot of skill development for workshops. But these areas are a square of hope that cruel fatality of labor. I know, don't refer me to pre-1994. Because we must have by now identified the need for an attention center, especially we as public workers that have a lot of efforts everywhere in the country. Then on slide 9, the last sentence says, the need for human resource capacity has been notable for a long time. You know, I don't like phrases like that. You notice it, why don't you do something about it? Then, Jefferson, on page 16, you get an operational requirement. I would have loved you to give us a budget to cost each of the necessities for a workshop. Sometimes we can see when you do the budget, your budget, the public works budget, if it will be, if you can meet that need. Then, Jefferson, my last question is on the material management. What do they mean by the word capable supplier? Jefferson, if I'm honest, often we say capable supplier. Now, say those your own mistakes. What can we in the department do? Om te verzekeren dat die verspreiding van die hoeveelheid voorziene suppliers, that it will be diverse, that we will not look again at the known one, but that small enterprises will have the ability also to be suppliers. And I'd like you, you know, you mentioned here something about stockpiling and that it is necessary. It is necessary, and we know that. We must, once we have the risk that is there. So if
must have plans how to cope the suffering for death or also in this. Thank you, Chair.
Just on the what Honourable Adam said, when she said in Afrikaans, the presentation was up for after. Is that the presentation was not up to standard? It's totally watered down. What was she expected? And then she said that in terms of the Afrikaans, of the suppliers, I think she means by, is this another new way of keeping out your local suppliers. Basically, that is what you make in Afrikaans. Honourable Keith?
Yes, I think I'm the chairperson. There's a few issues that I would like to raise with regards to the presentation. I'll repeat. In terms of information on slide number 4, now this workshops are being resuscitated. So surely there must be something that we can use currently to maintain the voters. My question is that what is in use or are the voters just becoming dilapidated? And if another party is being used, what is the cost of the maintenance of the voters in the absence of the present workshops? Slide number 10. Again, I think I'm going to put the time is short for this one. But my question on this one now, I see that if you look at the allocation of the different trades here, so you have the electrical maintenance, the plane, plumbing, painting, carpentry, and other, but I see there seems to be a no consistency in terms of the allocation of the different trades. So how is that decision made? How do you decide on how many electrical artisans, how many plumbing artisans, how many painters? Because in one area, for example, Caterham, you see that they focus on 17 carpenters, so that's the majority. If you look at Bloemfontein, for example, then you focus on more painters. So surely the maintenance of the buildings, you would normally have mostly a certain effect. So I just would like to know how is that decision made as to how the allocation of the different states. And again, okay, and furthermore, on that same slide, you give an indication of 134. Now, I'm sure 134 wouldn't even be adequate for Cape Town alone, so surely I understand that it is a resuscitation, it's working for this, but maybe you could indicate what the target will be once you've now. I understand that it's, I think Chairperson spoke about the small business where you need to include, but surely that's the one that will hardly cover in much maintenance. On slide number 17. Now, this is an interesting slide. If you look at the operational requirements, so for example, if you look at, I want to use that slide in conjunction with slide number 10. So for example, slide number 10 talks about. Let me just get this right. 61 artisans. That's right. Okay. No, sorry, but, electrical artisans. Let me go down the column. So if you look there, you've got 13 electrical artisans, and the operational requirement is 151 vehicles. Okay. You look at the next one, your mechanical is 16 artisans, and then the number of vehicles required there are 133 and so forth. If you look at your plumbing, there's 18 artisans and the number of vehicles required there are 200. So there's just no correlation between the number of artisans versus the number of vehicles that are required for operational purposes. There's no correlation. So I just would like you possibly give an explanation as to that one. Honorable Adams, the energy companies, spoke about the material management. Surely we understand that there are risks in any task that is performed, there are risks, but it can't be that you have no material or you need material
what I would like to see here, and why I'm saying this is more like a press release than actually getting us as the portfolio committee on board, is that I don't see the business case being made here. I don't see the issue that we are currently spending X amount on outsourcing this. If we insource it, it's going to have a capital component of X rands and a operational requirement of Y rands. Going forward, it'll cost us Y rands every year, and then obviously with capital expenditure every 2 or 3 years, etc. So I would like to see this costed. I would like to get my mind around the numbers that are involved. You know, often what you find is that government by its nature and also the way we remunerate employees, etc., means that things cost us a lot more to deliver than the private sector. So, you know, is it going to be cost effective to bring this in-house? If it isn't going to be cost effective, what is our motivation? There can be motivations for that. But, you know, what is our desired outcome at the end of it? Are we looking for empowerment? Are we looking for taking ownership and control? Or are we looking at reducing costs? What are our main goals of this project? What is the costing? Is there budget? I suppose we can only answer that the day after tomorrow. But you know, I'm hoping you've been given an indication. And certainly, you know, I wanted to say at the end, but I'll say it now. You know, your minister has pronounced the resuscitation of workshops as a flagship program. The delayed implementation of this initiative has been due to financial constraints. Well, he must be the one who's fighting with his mates and his colleagues at the top there, making sure that you do get that budget. And you guys also need to be dropping your pencil and finding out how you can find that money. The implementation plan on 19, 20, and 21, I appreciated that. I think it's a little bit thin on detail. And you know, you look at page 21, it says, we're finalizing the approval of the generic structure for workshops. Well, show us. Okay? What are you planning? What do you want to do? And one of the big issues I have here is that, you know, it's all good and well to go fixing the buildings. The public works owns a lot of property as well. Okay? And some of that property is out in the sticks and agricultural land that the EFF has got their eye on, etc., etc. But a lot of that land is also, you know, in built-up areas. And I was at a property last week owned by Public Works, and there's nothing on it, so it's probably not going to be addressed by this. Okay? But the property is in a disgusting state. The grass, the weeds have grown up above. I mean, you know, you couldn't see the guy walking next to you because the grass was so high. People are dumping rubble, pulling rubble. People have moved onto the property. There's a bunch of people living on the property, etc. So, you know, are we going to be addressing that as well? You know, are you going to also start looking towards getting people in who can do grass cutting? You know, you've got cleanups that need to happen at properties, and you know, garden maintenance, etc., etc. Is that something that you're looking at bringing forward on this as well, or is that outside of the scope of this project at the moment? Perhaps it's an idea, a seed I can plant, and maybe for expansion going further down the track. And certainly to use our own EPWP. I mean, your colleagues were moaning the other day that EPWP implementation is hampered by local government not coming to the party. Well, guess what? Take ownership. If you can use EPWP yourself through this sort of thing and direct some of your expenditure towards that, you know, getting in general workers to do things like cutting down long grass, taking down alien vegetation, etc. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Let me welcome the presentation that you got. Indeed, this program will a lot because it can save a lot of money by using it. In most cases, when people are outsourced, some of these issues here, it becomes very expensive because most people they charge any amount. to save adults. And I want also to indicate that there are a lot of youth outside there who have trained in different MBT colleges, who qualify in electrical work, in mechanical, and so on and so on. And they are just sitting there at home without work. A lot of them, I know so many of them from the rural areas there. So yes, we'll be embarking on this at a time, make sure that it is in such a way that it reaches even those rural areas, where some of them might not be in the position to be able to access the technology that you might be using. So I wanted also to look on, I think it's page number 5, where it talks about those people who have left the physical camp. So how many vacancies are there that these people left? How is their background like? Do we really have to start with the EPWP when we have got those vacancies that were left by those who were there before? Can we fill that first before we look into the area of just getting people who are going to get that telephone? When you check also, since this program does not cover all the problems, I don't know if maybe I'm making, how many provinces are covered here by this region that we're in? Most of that, even this region here, some of them, there's nothing happening in them. They are not active with the workshops that are there. And I'm sure the workshops are very important in each and every region. They must be there, they must be active, and just make them active. Somewhere, we're talking about prioritize to only two. Why do you prioritize two only? When we already have a lot of them here that are inactive, why only two? Because if we're going to project only two out of all these 9 provinces, it means some of the provinces will take ages for them to have active workshops. It is in the beginning of the financial year, then a budget for those workshops that you want your children to take and ensure that we are able to give a role. One of the members did talk about the defense force. I'm just wondering if these workshops are attached to the defense force, how do they assist service delivered into ordinary citizens or in the community, how do they ask if they are with the Department of Defense? Maybe you can explain that one, how it is able to interact and ask the service delivery down there. The breakdown here, I think it's all back on 11, in some cases, they are so high. What we can do is establish what cost of the model of wisdom. And how can we check it? Because if we have a workshop that we say is active, but it's always having a lot of breakdown, this doesn't mean the work that we're supposed to do. What could be the cost of it? On slide number 14, I see the type of skills that we're talking about here, but I don't see the car mechanics appearing in this. In the POPO requirements, the SHIELD, we used to have workshops that were meant to fit the government vehicles. They are there right now, those workshops. They are the white elephants, no longer used. Content included. Why here are we not catering for that? Because government has got a lot of things which are repaired in any auto shops anyway. But why are we not having that? Why are we not catering that one again? Maybe we can get that from you, the reason why we don't have it. Again, I want to say in most cases, people will always blame the government that things are not happening. Right now, we know that even the SONA and so on, there will be marching lines that people should do 1, 2, 3 and so on. But the main problem here is where, how the department implements this. In most cases, we don't implement the things that we are supposed to be doing as department. So, as long as we are saying we want to start with this workshop and we are going to be committed to that and start them and make sure that they are active and they assist the department where it is necessary, then I'm sure we'll be going somewhere. And we'll be reducing also a number of the people who are unemployed. This type of workshop, they can honestly absorb many, many youth out there. Some of them are not trained, you can still train them if they are not trained. Some are already trained, they can get into it. And we reduce this high number of unemployed. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would like to support the Honourable Clinton on the issue of quarterly report on the details.
Enough. So as lovers release the seeds, I will more frequently. Although this is a long distance relationship, but there's nothing SAA cannot do that can bring you to us or take us to you. So that we can see and leave this thing of absence with the heart component. But let the heart grow a pound better when we see you with good stories. And as Nora said, she wants to jump inside of joy when you come and report good stories to us. So we must do that, honorable members. Quarterly, we need to see them as such. If the tea outside is everyone is gone. The ladies have gone from the committee, they only left us as men for the first quiet day. So is the tea outside? Otherwise, we can wait for 5 minutes. But we've got 12 sets of minutes that we need to complete. It seems to me. It seems to pass the class and the tea outside. Reverend, is the tea outside? Fresh tea?
Not fresh.
Not fresh.
I have to put in.
Eh?
I have to put in now.
So can we... So should we break now or what? I think let's go forward with the responses. Now let's carry on. Let's go over to the responses. Respond, whether they're here or not here, just respond. Okay.
Thank you, Chair, honorable members. We note the quarterly meeting and we will be attending. And we also note the comment from the members about the quality of the presentation. I'm sure the second one will be more detailed. We can also supply an additional information in web form so that we can use all the aspects, but we note the quarterly meeting. Mr. Ndakane will do the response. And other members will add.
Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson and the members. We not all like the Chairperson has said, some of the Europeans have said in respect of the notes that the members have made us to make today. And I just want to maybe respond quickly by starting with Honorable Ryan to say that that we have seen on detail. I think part of the way to respond is to maybe explain what other big issues like this raise. I think it will help us a great deal. just to give the members just a high level indication, maintenance in public works has got a 1.2 billion budget. That is what we have. And in respect of how we get that budget utilized, we use it on a day-to-day maintenance, which is basically, I would call it in terms of maintenance language, it's unplanned maintenance. Meaning that those breakdowns that come every day. So because of that limitation, we find that there's very less planned work as it went in terms of where the bullet to come first and check the particular pump, check this thing as part of the requirement on a predetermined period as it would be. So because of that, we find that a number of strategies that we are applying in this case find that we're using contractors to deal with these issues. And part of the problem with that is the budget gets eaten quickly in the sense that there is no time to plan or forecast your program in respect of the costing aspect of the whole work. Then you find that you have a situation where this 1.2 billion just gets eaten all the time, but when you really want to see the real result, it's very difficult to measure. So part of why we have this program, resuscitation and what have you, it's going to, first of all, deal with the issues of safe. all our regions in total, just to answer the other question from the member, are going to be part of this management. And part of what we want to do is to ensure that there is a distinction between planned and unplanned work. Now, where there is actually planned work, we want to
declare to the committee that for plan work, our approach is to consider a term contract of level qualified small and big contractors depending on the complexity of what is being dealt with. I will highlight for instance in respect of contractors that do, like for instance your list as an example, which are part of your OEM as an example. Those are part of special contractors you'll be dealing with. But there's also, for instance, electrical contractors that deal with your lights and everything. You find that there's quite an abundance of such contractors available. But obviously, scale them in terms of the work. So that is basically the first approach. The second approach is to look at now the workshop now dealing with your emergencies. Why the workshop now dealing with emergencies? First of all, we believe that people in the region that got the knowledge of the building to start off with, they are part of the establishment. And it actually gives us a level of control in a particular way in the first place. So in other words, we want to discourage our regions from just using contractors for everything. We want them to start in a plan mode when they deal with work. So basically, those are the big issues that we are actually going to be addressing in respect of that. Now, to go to specific questions asked by members in respect of the Mthatha region and also the Durban region to follow in this regard, I just want to indicate to members that part of the reason we have actually approached Meta, Pretoria is the biggest center. It's got the biggest building. It's got the biggest, if you like, portfolio of properties that we are having. And that's where a lot of money gets actually taken in. So part of your 80-20 principle would be to say, if I fix Pretoria now and Cape Town, I will be more or less 50% towards achieving something. That is why this kind of notion behind in respect of that. And I just want to ensure that, to sort of confirm that the issue of safety, why it has not been mentioned in the presentation, it's one of the pillars of what we are actually going to do. Take note, Honorable Sultan, that as part of our quarterly reporting, we'll try to ensure that we bring a lot of information that will talk to the real activities, as it were, in respect of safety, making sure that people who do maintenance are doing what they're supposed to do. The other part I want to highlight when you raise the issue of do we have a program to check on this 100,000? That is actually being given by the department. Luckily, it was at the time that I started the term on the part. There's a letter that has been already prepared by the DG to be going to other DGs of all departments. It's specifically indicating to them, one, that the 100,000 is a threshold the department must budget for that. The second one is also to ensure that from our side, especially on the maintenance side, there is the inspection team that will be through our regions focusing on making sure that what, for instance, contractor is supposed to do is doing in respect of making sure that facilities are maintained in their own area. So it's not just going to be an open check for departments just to use 100,000. And by the way, later nobody checks. We will be checking that because it's also part of the state funds that we are talking about. We will do that. The issue of the third professional, I think we are taking note that members believe we need to look at it in the other way. We will consider that going forward. And the quarterly report will definitely ensure that we will take that into consideration. the other member raised the issue of why attachment to defense. Some of the reason is that some of these facilities are within the military base. In other words, they are not, for instance, sitting in our own area, which is part of where it's like the workshop in Pretoria, for instance, in a building where we actually operate without any other department. So when it says attached, we're using it, we've got our members that are working, but within the military bases, because as you know, military has got so much big spaces, so we operate from the non-military that they actually do. I just want to also maybe highlight over and above to say that part of our approach as well, you know that defense in some extent has got people that train, even contractors that have got teammates. So we are busy talking to respect in respect of that, how we're going to incorporate those activities, where we can
such a standard and norms where what is that you know for every type of a building and the cost in the old business building, the maintenance building should be at a particular percentage. So we'll be considering that. The issue of suppliers, a very, very important point. I think to help them to deal with the risk of materials outside is what we're going to do as per the suggestion by the members, so that at least going forward we don't find ourselves in the same situation. Because I just want to highlight that part of the expenses that make maintenance very expensive is to try to create your own, if you like, a 363 operation where you do everything in stocking materials. So as part of a lean sort of approach to ensuring that you reduce your cost, yet you are effective, is to also look at where in your pockets where you can help yourself up. And also the issue of capable suppliers, I think it's one point that we take note, and ours is to ensure that the smaller suppliers are actually empowered. I think that's part of our procurement strategy that will be actually informed by some of those comments that you've made. And then in respect of the issue of Site 17, where there was an element, there's no alignment between what you say in terms of what we need as capacity and versus what you say in respect of the resources. So there's a 231 34 cases. Just as an example, the grand plan, when we said we want about 1,000 units, which is good here to the school, it's actually talking to the entire program. But when we talk about your air resources of a few people that you are needing now, which are talking about Pretoria and Western Cape, everywhere, because we are doing a pilot. So basically, I think we take point that for the community to be able to be properly empowered, we need to ensure that we structure our presentation such a way that it talks to the enemy. So that is basically the area where I think we will make sure that we focus on that. And then also the other issue of the allocation of trade. There's an element where we, or what determines us to know what trade we need. What we've done, analyze all the data in their entirety. And we've broken them down in terms of the different types, basically electrical faults, mechanical faults, whatever, and then we could break them down. As we break them down, we also, within electrical, you can separate what is HT, what is LT, for example. Within mechanical, what is the particular area that you can focus on, and also within building and those areas. So as we break those things down, that gives us an element to say, because in Pretoria for more electrical faults versus your plumbing as an example, it tells you that where your issues should be focusing on. Going as far as saying, where you've got more faults, that's where we need to get more focus. So I'm just saying that at a high level, there was an element of application of mind to say why we want so many things based on the number of faults that you have in respect of that. the issue of the use of geometry is very important that we ensure that our geometry actually operates effectively. And as part of the marching orders given by the DG assistant last week, was for construction project management, facility management, to ensure that our projects, by their nature, have to have the inclusion of EPW components as part of that entrance. But we're going to go further, even with our contractors, to ensure that they utilize the same in respect of their activities going forward. And then the other question about the mechanics, some of the raised about the mechanics and the level of utilization of such thresholds. I think it is actually very understood that some of our facilities that we have are not utilized to the manner to support the state. So I think we will consider that very much in respect of making sure that it will actually assist the government to reduce costs instead of using smaller remaining private contractors. And then the other one that I want to maybe highlight when we talk about the provinces, how many provinces are we going to cover? It's going to cover all provinces, and we will make sure that that Honorable Sultana raised the issue that we ensure that our previously marginalized areas will have an element of both having at least a workshop, just to indicate that these workshops are run down because there was mushrooming of contractors. At the end, there was no need to have them at the point, but we're going to ensure that going forward, because we realize that relying on contractors more, you'll never be able to afford the work that you do. So to try and reduce your day-to-day maintenance costs. And then I think, by and large, my other colleagues can just add on in respect of other areas, but we just want to confirm to the committee that we will try by all means to ensure that we take note of this point. And the issue of Robben Island and other islands that we are having, currently the Robben Island is managed by a contract with one of our implementing agents, that's Kupa Development. We will be visiting them very soon, but they've got a plan program only to deal with maintenance in the island. But I just want to confirm that as part of our quarterly reporting, we'll actually elevate this type of things that are raised by members, so that at least going forward, it's going to give us a sense of what the situation is and what we intend to do. Thank you very much.
Anyone wants to add some spice barbecue, tomatoes, or any spice to it? Chocolata, please feel free.
The chief, just from my side, the honorable members, I think that the one question, Honorable Fultani, with regards to the safety officers, that is noted. The department within itself does have safety officers for mechanical, electrical, and building. And we utilize them currently in the workshops, but it will, the question will also further be dealt with when we look at the next structure. And then also in the next quarterly report, we will then be able to provide a list of the critical vacancies that is currently in the workshops and how we're dealing with it. Sorry, just to add with regard to Robben Island, as the DDS indicated, part of the arrangement with Kupa is that at the end of that term contract, they will do a skills transfer, and we will then ensure that there's capacity within the workshops to deal with the maintenance on Robben Island.
Thanks,
Honorable
Chair.
Thank you.
Just to add on two areas. I think regarding the disability, I think one honourable member indicated that we have not shown in the presentation with regard to the disability. I think in the next presentation, we can assure that we will go to an extent of the breakdown. The 110 accidents that you have indicated, which we were able to indicate in terms of the gender, I think we could have still broken down in terms of also indicating the disability areas. I think points have been noted. I think just to also add or elaborate on the issue around retired professionals, I think the intention of the department was that the nature of the work that is done within the workshop requires that even if you get a newly accredited artisan, you will still need them to be mentored. And I think part of the retired professionals was mainly to bring that kind of number. And I think it tallied that with what Honorable Member indicated, that you can only bring those people for the purpose of sure that this program reaches your rural areas, and we should make sure that when we put the adverts, we should ensure that it doesn't disadvantage to the even those who do not have access to technology. I think I just wanted to reiterate this and to ensure that we're taking a note of this. I know this point is close to the DG's heart. He normally tells us that he wants practical, he wants to see us making difference to the people. And I think we will ensure that when we put the assets, it's accessible. And I think the last part, Honorable Chairperson, is just a remark. I found this engagement very insightful, and I have noted a number of issues that have been raised, which seeks to improve our progress. And I think as we're going to continue as part of the commitment that on quarterly basis will be reported, I see our program being strengthened by this engagement. Thank you.
And I see on slide 20 your implementation plan. You say for recognized prior languages, absence should be registered with entities. But I'm speaking about that woman that is doing declare work for 30 years, that has no papers at all. How do we reach that people? When we enter a matter of men, painters, watchers, bricklayers, colleagues, those people don't have papers. How do we reach them? Because we have a skills development challenge in our country. And as part of this government, Public Works has come with a plan, and they are the mentors of this, they should be.
Their harbors.
reported in that meeting that in one hub, I can't remember the name, they approached the department for urgent repair work to the, I don't know now, the technical chair, where a boat comes ashore full of fish that land in the portion jetty. And finally, the boat owner said to them, I'm going to file a formal complaint because I've been at sea now for close to a week because the jetty is just in a condition, is a no condition for me to land there. And I've got plenty of stock here which is going to go rotting. We're running out of food and all sorts of other inconveniences. But public works was nowhere. So DAMP spent out of their own funds 1.5 million rands. And then that boat was able to land. I can give you the details of this incident if need be. And this chair is the reason why I'm asking, what are your response times when a work or repair work which should have been done by yourselves has not been done and you get this request from a given government department? Because I think as part of the protocol you should be able to say when you get a request classified as urgent, as was the case here, our response time is supposed to be like this. And that should be drilled into the minds and hearts, if need be, of the workforce that you are going to be utilizing. Now, the second follow-up question, Chair, actually, it's an auxiliary, not a follow-up. Last year, in our last meeting with the department, were at the hotel behind us. We got a report right in the presence of the DG by one of the entities of the department to say currently there are 200,000 artisan students across the length and breadth of South Africa who are unable to finish their tertiary education and get their certificates precisely because they are not being accorded space at which to do their experiential learning. 200,000. Let alone the 300,000 that are languishing already qualified. Now, my question is, are you going to use this program for experiential learning? See, in times of financial squeeze, you try to stretch your hand horizontally and vertically to get maximum value out of it. So whilst you have got, you know, where Mr. P employed there as a bricklayer, you bring in three students from the nearest college to come and practice how to lay bricks besides the theory. So I want to know if you've got that as part of the internal part of this program to open it up for experiential learning so that when these kids finish their theory at school, they can come in there. And if so, for how many months will they be placed? And that's where the importance of mentoring will really come in. Because you can get the guy, the foreman, who is employed as a foreman, but if you've got that experience, you know, professional, you know, retired professional, that could be one area in which you can play a very, very critical part, even to see if the foreman is appropriately utilizing these students who have come in exclusively for experiential learning, so that when they submit a report, it really is a great report. I appreciate the fact that you have thought of using their retired professional, you know, into the fold. Thank you, Chair.
All right.
Thank you, Chair. Follow-up question from me is just related to the financial management of the processes here. Now, we spoke about the budget and that this budget has been allocated, etc. But now, the issue is that a lot of these expenses, you know, let's go back to what we were told about under 100,000 and over 100,000, all those nice numbers, where some things the user department responds. responsible for and some things what the works is responsible for. So now, the majority of these interventions that will be carried out will be under 100,000, I presume. The fact is then that the user department should be billed for the maintenance of the work that's done by the workshops. Will there then be a complex system of accounting and invoices backwards and forwards, transfer pricing, all of those nasty things, then collecting invoices, following up? Are we going to have to set up a whole finance department to back up the workshops? Or is this going to be an additional expense that comes onto public works? Look, it's needed, so I don't care where we pay for it, but you know, what I'm getting at is the budget going to be increased for public works to take on this mandate? Or is it an unfunded mandate as local government likes to call it?
Now, I'm just looking at my notes there, which I took on Swana A. When the president spoke about expanding economic infrastructure, this takes us back to where we started before we had the presentation. I would love, it may not necessarily be their exclusive area of participation, but because they will be dealing with personnel related with the maintenance of government building, I would like to get, you know, a comment from them as to how they will actualize this. And then you also said that right at the beginning that we need to take additional steps to create more employment. Now I want to know, with this program, how many people will get employment? Thank you.
Part of our professional services, they also look in.
into recruiting people who are actually outside to the face of public works and respect for the status of the arrangement. I think we'll be considering this to see how we then look into that. And then the other one is the issue of financial management. I think part of the bigger headache of this program is the inability to manage necessarily the costs that are given by the state for us to manage our properties in respect of maintenance. We do acknowledge the money is never enough. But what is important is that in respect of the current arrangement, part of the ways we are doing it now, as an example, when the call is locked, when the call is locked, as an example, we don't necessarily just say the payment is to be approved for the way that it's been done by the day-to-day contractor. What will happen in the past, we find that they will just send the invoices, get signed off and paid without certain checking. So now what we're doing currently as a stopgap, if you like, measure to assist ourselves as we go towards fully operational Akibas. We're still using what you call Works for You. It's a system where when you log in for finance to pay you, that thing must be closed in the system. So as part of control currently, the department is ensuring that there's nothing that gets paid to not close in the system. For it to be closed in the system, there's certain elements that must be picked up. But obviously we're still gonna go through a proper audit trail in respect of that, because changing. So even our own internal audit, they want to see a proper system. I think we're gonna be going to actually making sure that we're not gonna really go on a separate, if you like, financial system altogether. We're gonna utilize our current environment to make sure that these things are done. And in respect of economic infrastructure, how do we then contribute as part of it? Part of the things we've noticed and make sure of that, you find that the work is not definitely then give it to a contractor which is a level seven. Part of the strategy is for us within the environment which is maintenance now, because the maintenance is not normally build big infrastructure, you maintain what is existing. But you find that if the work of maintenance is so big to that nature, ours is to then break it down into smaller components wherein we can actually put many players to do specific issues. And that, in that way, you are actually accelerating one by breaking the setting even to more people that are actually benefiting. In other words, it's not like one size fits all. So it's going to be looked into that. I think that's one of the things as we move forward. I'm happy that the committee wants us to report on a quarterly basis. As we develop this thing, it's going to help us to make sure that these issues are brought into the level. And then there was an issue about the contractors and the 200,000 students where they are unable to get into the training. Part of this program is actually about that. In this context, the contractors that we actually currently enroll in public work, we find that for short-term engagement with us, the 3 months is not sufficient for me, and I think for many of us is not sustainable. So part of what I said earlier was to say that our is to consider the planned work to be on term contracts. A term contract could be anything from 12 months to 36 months. Wherein, for instance, even our contractors will be part of assisting us to deal with training of these particular students for experiential learning. I don't like to make an example of the lease companies, because those are OEMs, original equipment manufacturers, where certain things that could drive, nobody can do or type certain equipment. Our plan is to ensure that, as an example, let's assume we've appointed Cone, who deals with elevators. The plan is to ensure that when they've been appointed, we bring in these players or small contractors to work with them and get trained, so that in the next 6 months when it expires, we can be able to say, you are now accredited to maintain this list. Then those are all part of the strategy. Also workshops. Why we want to facilitate them is to also ensure that our internal capacity is able to bring about the same training to our own members and also even people who are outside, in respect of making sure that as we respond, also the students, as we indicated earlier, we already enrolled about 40 for the new financial aid that are qualifying in the first quarter. Those people, when they come in, they are qualifying, but you find that they are not yet at the chief artisan level. We'll be taking
then the issue of mentoring, I think part of the issue that we want to ensure and confirm to the committee, mentoring will actually happen on very critical, if you like, areas. I'll make an example as well. We run quite a number of water treatment plants across the country, and there are very few people who understand the type of environment that looks to act as a specialized environment. That's why we normally will focus on mentoring. But where there's abundance of, for instance, skills within the environment, they're going to bring those retired or people who are from external. Because sometimes the pilot, for instance, is one of our most experienced regional managers. It's very much well-versed with technical issues. He might, at a certain level within his workshop, be able to mentor a number of people within his field. And I think by those ways, I think that would be the response from our side. Thank you very much.
Thank you for another question. I would like to echo the last point and the last response of my colleague on mentorship. I think what the department has done is actually set up a designated branch to drive capacity building. And I think this branch then, in turn, it has developed a mentorship strategy where initially you will find that the internal line managers were used as mentors. Right now the strategy has changed to say that I have designated mentors. And the strategy is outcome-based driven, which is saying that in terms of the mental performance, it has to be linked to outcome of whether it is the legislation or it is the assigned trainees or mentees that are attaining their trade certificate. So you will find that designated branch thing that is responsible for capacity is actually looking and addressing the concerns that the honourable member raised. Therefore, to the conditions of the appointment of those external mentors, like the retired professional, there are then conditions that attach to the development, which are outcomes of the training and the outcomes of the link to the program. Desirable outcomes for the program. Thank you.
Thank you. And further to that, in terms of training, we've got structured programs within the department that are focusing on training within the built environment. The NYS program and other strategies for government within public works. We are looking at an intake like this that will be able to look at those that have never been experienced in terms of training in the built environment. So we've got two levers. We've got those that have got the basics like your N1 up to N3. So we then, within our project in DPW, allocate a designated percentage to afford them the classroom training in the event that they do require, or we afford them the experiential training in line with the requirements of their local. The intention is for them to then get work experience and to be able to then qualify and get certification. But that's not limited to just that program. There are additional programs where we're looking, as the DG has indicated, from a structured planned maintenance, we'll be able to outline the scope of development where we focus on critical skills and ensure that youth is there and trained so through with a mentor to ensure certification.
Members, I think that the best advice is for lack of a last of that room. Huh? Never seen that. That one lady was hanging in the flowers to watch what the other lady is putting in the food and all that. Hmm? And then she invites everybody to come and taste the food. That is what the tourists are now. They invited everybody to come and taste the lovely food that the department has put on the table. Honorable members, is that honorable time?
I suspect that they don't have an answer yet to my question about the number of people who are potentially going to be employed. I can go home with an undertaking from them that in their first quarterly report, because by then I think they will have concretized, you know, what's going to happen region by region, so to speak, according to the location of the various workshops. I'll be comfortable with that. Also, on the other issue that I raised earlier, we can start from the understanding that they respond to it. Thank you.
What else?
Yes,
in the sauna, simply now we have to work together. We cannot be enemies towards each other because we are all here for one common purpose and one goal, and that is to make South Africa work. And as a portfolio committee, as we have said, and you as a department, we are lovers, follow the facts. The only happy couple is a dead couple. That is in the graveyard. That's the only happy couple. Lies in the graveyard. But we fight, we argue, and then we kiss and make up, which is a good part, the kiss and make up part, and then we move again. So So that is the view that we've got. Yes, we'll fight with you sometimes. And yes, we'll get annoyed with us sometimes. But take us as we love you, you love me, you love us. So, and that's where we can talk about. So we want to release you as a department and thank you and wish you well on your endeavors further on. And may God bless you and safe travels, those that's coming back. And all the best for your future work endeavors. And we hope to see you very soon. As love is a long distance relationship, I don't believe in absence with the heart nor fondness. We need to see each other very often. Thank you very much. Members, we'll just break for 5 minutes to grab a cup of tea and then we'll come back and deal with our... I counted 12. Nola said it's 21 sets of minutes. I counted 12. I don't know where she gets 31 sets of minutes. Oh, okay. So then we can deal with this one. It's quite easy.